I can see your passwords, 123. CISA goes to infinity and beyond. And I'm not being a maybe. These stories and more on this July 22nd episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is sponsored by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, they have removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to see how you can help too. Good morning and welcome to the July 22nd episode of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Rossini and joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. How the heck are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. This is going to be one of those episodes where we have a lot of special passionate words.
It's going to sound like Morse code.
Beep, 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 beep.
And with that,
yeah,
let's get into the news. Darkreading.com lays it all out. Okta exposes passwords in clear text for possible thefts. Researchers contend that flaws in the Okta platform could easily let attacker gain remote access to the platform, extract plain text passwords, impersonate users of downstream applications, and alter logs to hide any evidence they were ever there. Last January, threat group Lapsus claimed to have breached Okta with the superuser account credentials, posting screenshots they claimed to have grabbed from internal systems. It was determined 366 Okta customers were impacted from that incident. For part, they say that the passwords are in clear text because there is no standard reliable protocol for syncing hashes. Researchers noted, however, Authomize noted that Okta did pledge to have its product team take a closer look at the password leaked risks. Ray, we said that this is going to be a Morse code episode with swearing, but I will just kick it off with the Latin words of it's in clear text because there's no standard reliable protocol for syncing hashes. What the f***?
I think this was, there's an old Latin phrase, e domini b you. Okay, put cards on the table. I'm a network engineer. I'm not a security engineer. I'm sure they know more than I do. But most problems are solvable, and that's an engineer's job to solve problems. There has to be some existing or easy to solve mechanism for encrypting data in transit and at rest. I have to imagine, now I'm saying this absolutely out of guessing, but there has to be something. I mean, for all the code, that doesn't make any sense to me. Storing your stuff in clear text because it's hard. Like, come on.
That's what I don't understand. Okta is a major player. They are an influencer in the market. They are the first real player that said, hey, listen, you don't need AD, but we can give you the features and functionality of AD in an outsourced Azure-like AD infrastructure until Azure came out. But it was almost prolific instantly because no one wanted to deal with AD in-house. And if you're saying this entire time, they've been storing everything in clear text because it's just an easy way to sync hashes, I am struggling with that. And I want to know what the audience's attempts to resolve this are. Is there going to be a backlash? Can they unring this bell? Because once that is out, and we already know that the Lapsus group exposed that hack a while ago, I'm really curious what the end results are going to be from the larger customers that are consuming the Okta services. Again, this is a centerpiece. This is the users, the passwords, the permissions, the authentication. This is the all of the above. This is the brains, the nervous system. This is everything originates here, and they're storing it in clear text. I don't know what to say. I want to say that this can't be true,
right? Because MSPs. You know, we want single sign-on. We want central points of authority for identification, access, authorization management. Like, so it can make life easier so you can secure things better. And then to say one of the core tenets of how we secure our information with these single sign-on providers, we're saying, yeah, but they're also not subscribing to best practices. Like, it's making it harder because MSPs are picking vendors that are known in the industry, that have a long history of proving themselves, that have a robust and enterprise class solution. And it's not like the MSPs can dive into the product and go check code for themselves or even qualified to, right? But to then go back and say, this is what's going to have stuff like this come up. If the client sees it, it erodes confidence against the MSP. And that's why I tell MSPs all the time, choose your vendors wisely. Not saying you could have foreseen this coming, although Okta's had their fair share of oops moments. But you know, it's not right. You know, and I take umbrage at this.
Wow. So with that, before we make a transition to the next stories, I would love to hear from the MSP audience out there on this. I mean, I think the general theme is the MSP world. You're out there putting out fires for your customers. The last thing you need is to turn around and see that the fire truck itself is on fire. And it's doing that. It's on fire because it was just easy to store those passwords in clear text. I'm really, really interested into what everyone has to say. So put your comments in YouTube. We've got to follow us. We've got the at MSP Media TV. We're everywhere. So with that, let's jump into the next story, Ray.
So in an act I do not take umbrage against, as reported by Kevin Williams on SmarterMSP.com, CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, has a subcommittee that is working on a draft working on a report that is expected to be released later this year. However, they've released a draft report with initial guidance for businesses and MSPs alike. The draft notes CISA needs to prioritize its strategic workforce development, dramatically improve its talent acquisition process to be more competitive with the private sector, radically expand recruitment efforts to identify candidates across their professional lifecycle, and leverage talent identification and hiring success through the interagency collaboration. CISA is working to ensure that all organizations, large or small, have access to the information resources to implement essential security practices. CISA also plans to launch a 311 national campaign to provide emergency call services and clinics following cyber incidents for small and medium-sized businesses. Of course, CISA will focus on advocating for MFA in a campaign called More Than a Password, reaching out to nonprofits, educational institutions, fellow government partners, and the extended cybersecurity community. The article covers much more, and we'll link it below so you can read in detail. But for now, Tony, I've often complained security advocates rarely give actionable items. This seems like exactly what we've been waiting for. These are a list of things we want you to do so that you can better protect yourself and your clients. How do you think this is going to affect MSPs and small businesses?
This is ridiculous. This is going to limit our news on what we're going to report on the ransomware attacks and all the horrible things that happen in our industry.
How dare you?
Or, I know. Or, I'm just calling this out. It may be something amazing. It may be the keystone to an avalanche of positive activity in our future. We have a leader. We have a well-respected leadership group framework that's established that's now aggressively moving forward to implement this framework everywhere with everyone and doing something positive. The impact of this is really to be determined, but I just don't see this going in a negative direction. I see this is exactly what we've been waiting for. And again, this could be the keystone to an avalanche of positive activity in the future. Let's peel back some layers. What are your thoughts on this, Ray?
I mean, on one hand, I love it. Do this. We're going to protect you. When stuff goes sideways, pick up the phone, dial 311. That's going to be interesting for MSPs because now CISA is saying, pick up the phone, dial 311. So you have somebody telling you one thing, which may not be the response your MSP, your MSSP, or your UNITY, whatever it is, may be telling you. That should be interesting. And at the same time, I have to think back, we've also been screaming MFA for how long? You know what I mean? And even part of this is they're going to keep talking about MFA. And it seems like how many breaches do we see every single day, right? That, you know, people could have been stopped with MFA. So I think this is great. I think for the security aware community, which I like to include myself in, right? I'm not a security expert. I'm security aware. I think for that community, this is going to be extremely helpful. For MSPs that are trying to do the best for their clients, this is going to be extremely helpful for mom and pop shops that don't have all the resources. And maybe, you know, they have, we've all known those that have that nephew, that cousin, that neighbor's dog walker's best friend's brother in college, roommate, whatever, that knows a little about computers because they watched a YouTube video. This may provide steps they can follow. And if that protects the industry as a whole, I'm all about that. I'm 100% in.
Maybe this is exactly what we've been waiting for on multiple levels, in that we have multiple frameworks out there that are talking about security. But the reality is that a lot of people don't understand how to implement or execute or manage those frameworks. Just like we have HIPAA, GLBA, Sarbanes-Oxley, SEC, compliancy, but really a lot of people are struggling with where to start and how to manage that. This is the proper framework, but now they're actually taking steps, action items to implement this with, frankly, everyone. Implementing a 311 number, that's unheard of, and that is just a dream across the board. But again, I really, really am focusing on the leadership role that they're taking, that is going to have a huge impact, because good leadership is going to do amazing things. However, there is bad leadership. Ray, would you like to talk about some examples of different types of leadership?
All right. So I want to start off by saying that this article is going to be directly quoting Fred Vakola of Kaseya, CEO of Kaseya and Datto at this point. He is known for using several expletives in his everyday speech. To stay true to his words, I will be repeating those. If those words offend you, I recommend clicking on the next time code to the next story and avoiding this altogether. With that said, as reported by Orion Johnson of CRN, Fred Vakola, CEO of Kaseya and Datto, gave several spirited responses to Datto employees at their town hall and in subsequent interviews with CRN. I want to warn viewers, there's a fair amount of coarse language. If that might offend you, just forward to the next story. Highlights of the report are Mr. Vakola's view of benefits and culture. Benefits are not part of culture. Benefits are part of compensation, his words. When commenting on social issues, Mr. Vakola responded, "Here's our company strategy regarding social issues and political issues. We don't have an opinion, period. We don't. We're not going to talk about pride. We're not going to say pride is bad. We're not going to talk about George Floyd or say George Floyd is bad. We don't take positions on any social issue, period." In regard to Datto's employee resource groups, the groups that were meant to support Datto employees that were in whatever fashion they needed, his response, "I think it was pretty clear in the message, and I'll say it again. Prior to the Datto acquisition, our approach is we are one company with one employee base, and we are all Kaseyans. That is the approach that we have taken, for better or for worse. I think it is better, but that's the approach that we have taken. Datto has a different approach," Vakola said. "We closed the deal 3 weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know. And that's not a shitbag answer, avoiding the question. I answered, why hasn't Kaseya done it in the past? What will we look like in 9 months from now? It takes a while to integrate companies. Don't know." In benefits to employee changes, Fred responded, "I'm going to make this question easy for everybody." He said, "Do you think that Kaseya would have gotten valuable enough to buy Datto if it treated its employees like shit, made dumb decisions, and had bad benefits? I mean, come on," quote unquote. There's much more to the article that we'll link below, but you get the gist of it. So, Tony, could Kaseya have become profitable if they mistreated their employees? It seems like it worked for Amazon and Walmart. Why would Kaseya be any different?
Leaders have the right to be defeated, but they do not have the right to be surprised. And the comments made, or at least the positioning made in this particular interview, is going to bring up some fairly predictable results. And I don't know, how to put the pin back on the grenade. I don't know how to redirect an angry backlash that is imminent. And it was already present, which was largely driven by confusion, by the way, about the benefits and what those benefits are going to be. But that being said, this particular interview, I'm really struggling with how to I just want to apologize. The complexity of his humor seems to escape me. I don't think this is a funny subject. I think this is a very serious subject that's affecting thousands of people. I think there's going to be people that are going to be angry. I think that angry is going to proliferate out to the MSP and the channel world. I don't know how to handle this. Give me your thoughts, Ray.
So he says some things. I don't want it to be painted 100% negative, all right? There's always some good in everything. I did see that he said some things that did make sense to me. He talked about Datto keeping their employees in the dark about what and why of how the things were going to happen with the acquisition and post-acquisition. There are SEC rules as to what can be disclosed and what can't be disclosed, but Mr. Pakula did say he would have informed the employees much sooner, given them much more detail, as opposed to keeping them in the dark until the acquisition. I can't say I disagree with that. Now, the how, maybe we're not on the same page. His comments of, you know, saying I'm not a his words, saying that, you know, he was asked what kind of leader he wants to be. And his answer was, well, I'm not a leader. I'm a business owner making a profitable company. Maybe that's the kind of leader I am. It seems to kind of miss the mark for me. And to say that Datto's culture is only the external culture, that how they work with MSPs, but missing the fact that the Datto's internal culture is exactly what affects their, exactly what breeds their external culture with MSPs, I think is missing the mark. That Fred may not be your cup of tea. Okay. I mean, that's his right to be that. And it seems to be very matter of fact. He doesn't give a shit if you like his method or not. I get that. And I actually don't fault that. But it does seem to me like a carnivore bought a vegan restaurant and bought it because of the health benefits of being a vegan, and then is trying to make it a carnivore, make it a steakhouse. Does that make sense to you, Tony? Does that, I mean.
That was a beautiful analogy. Beautiful. I have nothing past that. I think that summarizes everything, but I'm really curious how this is going to play out. I think this is going to have ramifications because it's going to directly affect the morale of half of the audience. You have the Kaseya and the Datto audience. And of course, that's going to proliferate out to the channel, the very customers that they service. So I want to see where this story goes. I think the results are very predictable from this particular tonnage. And I wish that this bell could be unrung. I wish that this could be a very happy ending. But right now, everything is to be determined. So with that, I'm sure we'll follow up in additional stories. Let's get into some other notable mentions and other stuff. Hey, the FBI says if you're hit by ransomware, don't forget, give us a call. As stated in PCMag.com, the Justice Department is reminding ransomware victims to report attacks to authorities by pointing out that there's a chance the agency can recover some ransom funds. Case in point, on Tuesday, U.S. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco announced that the federal investigators recovered about $500,000 in ransom payments, thanks to Kansas City medical provider calling the FBI about the incident. Quote, if you report the attack, if you report the ransom demand and payment, if you work with the FBI, we can take action. The U.S. is now returning the recovered funds to the victims, and the incident represents a rare win for the Justice Department in the war against ransomware scourge, which continues to ensnare numerous victims. The FBI says it has received 3,729 complaints from ransomware victims last year, with an estimated losses over $49.2 million. Call the FBI if you're in trouble, folks. They're here to help.
In my notable mentions, I'll go real quick. Microsoft starts blocking Office macros by default once again in their latest round of ping pong. Teams Q&A is now generally available. Windows 11 now blocks RDP brute force attacks by default. All three of these stories are listed below in the show notes. Read and enjoy. In our feedback section, If you remember last episode, we had feedback from Devin Sysadmin on RMSP asking what's up with all the spam postings. Well, we responded and thanked him for his feedback and gave him a little bit of the why. It seems we've won a new follower. Says, I love it. Please feel free to post on RMSSP and we will absolutely take you up on that, Devin. Thank you very much. Also posted by local Sysadmin. This is a good update. Thank you. Do you have a newsletter? We have podcasts. We have the YouTube channel. We have, follow us on Twitter. I don't know the Twitter handle. Oh, there it is, at MSP Media TV. Do we have a newsletter? No, but maybe we'll get you an RSS feed. We can do that. I think we're walking the fine line of being everywhere, but not wanting to spam you guys. So we're being very cautious, but thank you for the feedback either way, local Sysadmin. Tony, we got some community events. What do we got coming up?
We do. On July 26th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. That's this awesome group, by the way. On the 27th to the 28th, in-person event, ASCII Summit, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. On the 28th, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar Podcast, episode number 40 with Nicholas Gable, Alex Permenter, and Elizabeth Copeland. That's awesome. I want to see that one. On the 27th to the 29th, in-person event, Build It IT Live 2022 in Jersey City, New Jersey. I will be there. On the 29th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, again, the MSP Wrapping Up the Week, presented by Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco.
And with that, I think that... that makes for a pretty great episode. Again, I apologize for all the cursing, but you know how we do. please stay with us next time. We promise to do better. Tony, thanks so much, man. I know you're battling your personal.
I got a headache. Malaise? This headache is not. I don't know. This headache is not going away. Whatever it is, the lights are everywhere. But I will do this any day, anytime. Can't wait to be here and. Fill everyone
and you suck them. It up. And we're going to be doing Dispatch live from ChannelCon or recorded from ChannelCon. So CompTIA in 2 weeks or a week, something like that. I don't know. We'll be there.
Awesome.
We'll be there. Yeah, looking forward to it. All right, brother, go get some rest. Thank you so much for your commentary, your news, and thanks to the MMN audience for all your feedback and for writing this out with us. We look forward to seeing you next episode. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Good morning and welcome to the July 22nd episode of MSP Dispatch. I just realized I did the intro with the 21st as the date. Mother. Good morning. Welcome to MSP Dispatch on this July 22nd, 2022. I'm Ray Rossini and joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony? And muted. Beep, 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 beep. This is going to be that episode. Jesus. Exactly. I'll go ahead and do the voiceover. I'm Tony Francisco, and I don't feel good, but I'm here anyway because I'm a f***ing trooper.
Doing the best I can. I'm sweating. I have maxi pads under each arm, one on my chest. Yes. Okay. Ready? As displayed in darkreading.com, researchers contend that flaws in the Okta system could easily let an attacker gain remote access to the platform. Extracting... Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go.